Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, and representing the fine state of Ohio, I got my homegirl, Miss 100%, co-hosting with me. If y'all want to holler at us, 646-929-2037. Is the call number. Once again, 646-929-2037 is call number. Holla at us. And I know some of y'all are shy, and I say it every week. If you feel like you can't call, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that's dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will answer your questions, comments, concerns, whatnot, or you can jump into the chat room. We answer questions in there also. And for those who are out there listening, trying to get into the chat room, trying to get in there, but we are having technical difficulties beyond our control. Maybe Blog Talk is upset with some of the NCAA tournament results from the night, sort of like I am. So my brackets, they ain't doing that well. But anyway, also, you can catch me on Facebook, Twitter, tag, MySpace, My Yearbook. I'm everywhere. If you want to catch me on Facebook, tag, MySpace, My Yearbook, I'm Dick Hugger. If you want to catch me on Twitter, you can follow me at Smooth Drama. Be looking out for you. I'm very sociable. You stalk me, I'll stalk you. We can stalk each other. Anyway. How are you doing, Miss 100%?
I'm great, wonderful. Got out and enjoyed the beautiful weather today. I'm just fine. How about you?
I'm good. I can't complain. I can't complain at all. At least I won't complain. Although I know there are a lot of people in the NCAA tournament started today. You know, I'm a basketball fiend, so. It's been driving me nuts looking at my bracket and looking at the people competing against me in my Smooth Drama group bracket. And it's all, nothing special. First, want to say, I know a lot of y'all know, have heard Nate Dogg has passed on.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg. Heard about the details that he had been suffering from the strokes. He had had a couple strokes, and he had suffered some setbacks, whatnot, as which ultimately caused his demise. And it was one of those sad things, and it was also a testimony to something that I think is very, very important is health. You know, being that he was only 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was not an old man. You know, when I think of strokes, I'm thinking. You think of people in their late 60s, 70s. You don't think of strokes and associate that with people who are in their 40s. It's just not where we at, unfortunately. But
mm-hmm.
he had to he suffered for it. I mean, it seems like we should do some research so that you know, we can start helping folks so that they can eat right. You think that we'd be able to research and fix the food? I mean, all the technological advances. I mean, we do a lot of research, and Lord knows, if you go on the internet, or anybody who's ever been on the internet and got an email knows that we've got more than enough pills to make your dick big. We don't have things that can help people comprehensively as far as health goes. You know, I mean, we still haven't cured the common cold yet. It's one of those sad situations.
Right. And then also, sometimes it doesn't even matter how healthy you look, you know, when you were saying, you know, to eat right and stuff like that. And people think, okay, well, I'm pretty thin, you know, I'm not too overweight, you know, I could skim lose a couple pounds, but I'm good. But then they turn around and have a stroke. You know what? Strokes and heart attacks have nothing to do with, like, your cholesterol and having diabetes. And they try to associate those types of illnesses with people who are overweight. And they say, well, people who are overweight, we'll just give that to them. But you really have to become, you know, proactive in going to the doctor, because I'm finding that it doesn't matter, black, white, overweight, you know, just average weight, high cholesterol, diabetes, and what was the other thing?
High blood pressure is
really prevalent in the United States. It's crazy, like you said. It's something in the food, the way that the food is being grown and the meat and stuff that we're eating.
Well, you know, and speaking of that, you know, I've been talking about that for a while now, because I was riding on Taco Bell because of they were getting sued because they didn't have the standard. The standard is like 40%.
Right. They don't have real ground beef. It's not real ground beef.
Right. And so
it hasn't been real ground beef for years.
Right. I mean, and that's my point. I mean, you look at you start talking about the food that we eat. I mean, you know, not to make a joke, but what is 100%? I mean, if I got to speculate on my food, I don't want to.
Right.
So, I mean, and see, we talk about studies and wasting money. I like to talk about and make fun of the studies that they have out there that make no sense whatsoever. You know, we talk about cutting funds and making and making the budget match whatnot, and we cut the education. But then I'll read about another study, and I'm like, they probably spent a whole lot of taxpayers' money on this. Like, there's a study, a fertility study, where it says guys are right. Size matters when it comes to fertility. Now, this is the University of Rochester Medical Center. Now, they're not talking about, well, they alluded to it. They're talking about size matters, but not necessarily the size of the penis. They're talking about what they call the AGD, which is short for anogenital distance. Now, what is anogenital distance? Anogenital distance is the difference between about 2 inches from a man's ass to his ball sack or scrotum. Now, this is a study, and they're saying that people who have smaller AGDs, they are less fertile.
Wow.
Yeah, and they say that because if your AGD is smaller than 2 inches, you may have a problem. And they're saying that because pregnant women have been exposed to phthalates, which are used in perfumes and personal care products like shampoo or whatnot, mm-hmm. shower curtains and floor coverings, it helps you give birth to boys with shorter AGDs. Right, and it's saying that these phthalates, in between the year 2005 and 2008, during pregnancy, women bore baby boys with reduced AGD and penis size, and that corresponds with the fertility problems. Now, real quick, I've heard theories. It's a stereotype that's out there, and this is not hating on my Asian homie, but I've heard rumors that Asian men aren't well endowed. I've heard rumors. I can't confirm or deny.
But they make a lot of babies, though.
Yeah, in China, there's like 2 billion of their asses.
No, so they're like limited to making, you know, what is it, like 2 kids per family now?
Right.
They're that
potent that they have to say, y'all can't even have kids.
That's
so in coming back to this study, now they're saying, oh, the penis size and the AGD or the anal genital distance matters when it comes to fertility. I'm thinking, no. I'm thinking hurting people who aren't that well endowed in certain regions in Asia. Because if that's not fertile, you'd hate to see what fertile really is. I mean, if we was going to be stereotypical here and we just going to live off the stereotype, there should be about 5 billion people in what they call Africa.
Mm-hmm.
If we was going to go there.
You're right. speaking of childbirth or having babies, have you heard about the new law that they wanted to try to pass in Ohio, where every woman that had a baby here in Ohio would have to go through mandatory DNA testing regardless of if she and the baby's father wanted to have a DNA test or not. They wanted to pass a law that it was mandatory, and the test would be while the woman was still pregnant. It was before she actually gave birth. They would do DNA testing to determine the paternity of the child. And a lot of people were saying it was because a lot of women were having babies and blaming the husbands or blaming the guys for, you know, being responsible for this child, and he wasn't actually responsible for the child. I don't believe that. I think that's a bunch of baloney for the simple fact that you can wait until after a child is born to have DNA testing done, and the results are not going to change. So why is it necessary to put a woman through that stress while she's still pregnant? Because one of the risks is that she can lose the child when they're doing a test like that. So why does it have to be done while the woman is pregnant?
Well,
and that, to me, that sounds kind of fishy.
Well, yeah.
To say.
And the conspiracy theorist that I am, I mean, anytime you talk about doing DNA tests on pregnant women when there's no need for the test, I mean, our DNA tests seem to be working perfectly fine after birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it to me seems like it's a way to hurt the population. And I'm gonna take an uneducated guess that the people that they would be testing would be the poor and less fortunate, or the less fortunate, as we call them, as opposed to those with means. I don't think they'll be undergoing these DNA tests.
They said that it would be everybody, regardless of your status and regardless of your marital status, regardless of your, you know, your financial background, it would be every pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine? That, to me, I don't even think that would even work. Do you know how many pregnant women it probably is just in Ohio alone?
Well,
so
once again, I don't believe, like you said, baloney, I would tend to use stronger language like that's some bullshit. No, I don't feel like you should be able to impose any test on me. We're talking about the government, once again, stepping into people's lives and taking their rights, and basically you can conduct any experiments you want on me just by passing the bill. Now,
right,
that.
Right. And a lot of idiots out there are saying, yeah, hell yeah, let's do the shit, because these black bitches, that's what they're saying, these black bitches on welfare, they're taking all our money, they're just sitting up having all these kids, and they're blaming all these guys for all these kids, and they're not even a father, da 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 da. Like, fool, look beyond what people are telling you, because first of all, in Ohio, I'm going to tell you how it is in Ohio. When you get pregnant, because I got pregnant when I was 14, had my one and only son when I was 15, okay? So I did have to go to welfare to get medical, okay? So when you're pregnant in Ohio, you already have to get a paternity test when your child is born. It is not mandatory before you have the child, but if you are going to get any type of assistance from the government, you have to say who the father is, because they're saying, if we're going to help you take care of this child, the absent father needs to be responsible for his portion of what we're doing for this child. So you have to say who the father is.
Right.
A couple things will happen if you don't. If you don't say who the father is, they will not give you your assistance, or you can be taken to jail.
Right.
So,
well,
and it's always been like that as long as I've known.
Right.
So what's new now?
Right, but that's the point. Once again, we're talking about a time where government is overstepping. Of course, being the haters that they are. And on that note, we're going to take our first break, and we're gonna do a shout-out since you wanted to let them know how much haters they are and how much you dislike their policies. I'm going to let let Jean Grey and her haters anthem speak to how we really feel. Let her articulate it. This is Jean Grey, haters anthem.
Liquid content, they cause y'all faggots' frames to burst. Same rhyme structure, fling your brain, I blame birth.
game swifter. Made a retainer, greater picture of lame dames that couldn't be felt with braille scripture. Even deaf kids are rocking earplugs. I'll rip you, then stick you with sticks. I dipped an arsenic filled jug. Official, you bitches. I ignite under certain circumstances. Slip back and have your ass kick my backup dancers. Can't be sober, the mad hat of the Jabberwocky of rap. Been hibernating, contemplating, now I'm finally back. To throw chains or hopscotch your ass back. I'll play close like a song, hugging an ass crack. The verb sleep scab, brittle permanent scars. It scraps deep like a cheap box of CDRs. Spread heat like I'm Gia's drawers, pleading the force. In court like he's the boss, and I'll carry you off. Fuck, it's more necessary than violence on the homicide.
Oh my God.
She's wrong like eating bacon in Ramadan. I'll piss on your shoes and make you clean them with your mouth. Then I'll tell all your friends to send a pen to your house. Must be crazy, but speed knots in your lady. Silent DNA test, so it's not your baby.
Maybe we can be friends.
No, just pretend. I slip razors in your charm bracelet, split your skin, bitch.
Fuck you, hold up. Fuck you, wait, long. Fuck you, okay.
With music and loops, no scruples, man. Phraseologist, non-apologetic mutilator, stazologist, defaming names so they can sue me later. Hater, yes, Decatur-esque ass, the fader poser, philanthropist, misanthropist, underground soldier, banana clips, just start unloading in your supermarket, screaming to your horse sleep and finding out that you're the target. Monotony flow, contradictory word placing, like bringing Satan to a baptism in a flooded basement. Leaned out for lunch, she ain't even punched in yet. Facsimile, I'm the original document. All shock and then lights out, drop them in. Selections of very buried and proper things. I'm married to rap like J-Lo to scandals. Light up a room like J-Ho's birthday candles. That bright like Stephen Hawking's computer chair. Asked out a teacher on a Sadie Hawkins stair. Parallax you, see the future in my sleep. I'll battle rap you until your gullet starts to leak. Gnash your teeth, smash you, then bind your feet. Thrash holes in your dome, snatch your soul and retreat. Mad Max is the pro. So dope, it's fantastic. Now fold up your dough before you get your ass kicked.
Fuck you, hold up. Fuck you, wait, long. Fuck you, okay.
Like a Russian whore, mail order, bitch sent to Dahmer's crib. It's an honor to split your arm, a blood drip. Like Pulp Fiction when bits of bones get on ya. Shit, I just talk jog and disregard margins. Liquidate any enemies, rap incarnate. I'm cynical, criminal actions excite me. My mic cords and umbilical that radiate top beams. Humorous, filled with more flow than a cumulus cloud. Dentist mad, he said my words abuse my mouth. So I upchuck him. Fuck them out, chuckle loud, duck down, screaming, fuck the crowd. Specialized stagger, mix malt liquor with your cola. Start drinking when the cops start looking over their shoulder. Nastier than central booking sandwiches, handle it tough. Cranky in the morning after smoking a cannabis stuff. Can't see it like orphan Annie's pupils in cartoons. Can't be it like crannies with paper implanted wounds. Nope, that's not it, close but no cigar. Dutch lips, but I'm passing it right past you, Paul. That's all, that gene, the definitive minister. The sarcastic whip bar, spitter competitor. The uncosmetic duck shit on your pedestal. The sanatorium and release the most unforgettable. Mozart, dirt, Molotov your face, and lock you in the box and watch you burn in a close space. Big face, get your shit taken and replaced with a ticking case that's strapped to your waist. Boom, you move too slow, sloth boost your movement. Your mind count time like down south screw music. Who's it? The phoenix wings spread like an ox dead. I'll knock you out a window, make you literally drop dead.
Fuck you, hold up.
fuck you, fuck you, fuck. Oh, anyway, welcome back to Smooth Trauma. That was Jean Grey, the Haters Anthem. So for all the haters out there, that's how we feel about you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck. Hold up. Fuck you, fuck you, everybody. Oh, anyway. Once again, Jean Grey, Haters Anthem. For all the haters out there, if you thought you had a little hate in you, that was for you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you tasted it all up in your throat.
Wow.
Speaking of haters, Southwest Airlines apologized yesterday to a Muslim woman who was taking off one of their carrier jets before a flight out of Lindbergh Field due to concerns about a comment she made while awaiting takeoff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Ibrahim Abbasi, a graduate student at San Diego State University, mother of three, wearing her Islamic headscarf, when she was told she had to leave the plane because a flight attendant considered her suspicious. So, you know how they announce your flight? She's on the phone, and she's saying, hey, I've got to go. And so they came up to her, and I guess they thought she said, it's a go. And the captain said they didn't feel comfortable with her on the plane. Yeah. So she missed an 8:15 flight to San Jose to continue research for her thesis.
Mm.
Yeah. She moved to the U.S. from Pakistan 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. You can imagine that. I mean, it's not even funny because I thought this very thing when I saw the Nigerian dude on the news when he had the bomb in his drawers. That was the first thing I thought. Shit, now they're going to be pulling over black men.
When did they ever stop? When did they ever stop profiling us? They never stopped.
Yeah, but you know, in the airport, we good. You know what I'm saying? We're good. You know, they don't look at us as terrorists. I mean, because we know just the whole blowing up shit for anybody.
This is one more fucking thing that we can't do without being harassed.
Right.
Thanks, whoever you are.
Right.
Thanks a lot.
And it's sad, I mean, because, you know, I've done that before. You know, you're on the phone. It's like, hey, the flight is lining up. I got to go. Now, obviously, when they saw her, they was watching her and was listening to her the whole time. And, you know, it just one of the things. You can't be yourself. If you're a Muslim, you trying to get on the plane right about now. Not going to get talk on the phone.
Oh, my goodness.
Anything that say anything with that, anything to do with saying go or anything like that.
I mean, do they really think they, come on now, that somebody that was going to do something would be so foolish or so careless as to be on a cell phone and talking loud enough for people to hear her and around a whole bunch of other people for, you know, them to hear the conversation and then say something so stupid like, oh, well, it's a go. Oh, that's just the dumbest shit that I've ever heard before.
It's not
nervous-ass people.
Cool, but it's not far-fetched, though. That unfortunately, that's the problem because...
But they are a lot more careful, and I'm not saying Muslims, let me be clear, let me immaculate what I'm trying to say. I'm saying suicide bombers or terrorists are not that stupid. So they're not going to be on the phone where everybody can hear their conversation. So
yeah,
saying it's a go. That doesn't make sense. I just think it's a bunch of nervous people, you know.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm nervous, too. I don't
want to
be blown up.
I mean, come on.
No.
Like, oh, my God, there's a Muslim. Let's get her off because she's going to try to do something.
Not there's a Muslim. The point is, I understand. I just thought it was funny that they listening to this woman, and you think you've already enacted everything. There's you made her, you know, you pretty much have to get naked to get on the plane before you get on. If you got,
see, I don't fly, so I didn't know. I don't get on airplanes, so I don't know what the protocol is.
Well, the protocol basically is you take off your shoes, your belt, they x-ray you. Now they have the x-ray where they can see your body naked. I've applied for that job, but I haven't gotten any callbacks yet. Anyway, I mean, there's a lot. They examine you head to toe. And so... And unfortunately for her, because there are people who are suicide bombers who have looked like her, have been her countrymen and representing the religion, she's going to bear the brunt of that.
Okay.
You know, it's unfortunate. You know, it's a sad testimony to where we at, because I think people like that are, you know, terrible. You know, I look at these so-called terrorists. I don't see these terrorists as nothing but tools and pawns of the very people that they call themselves fighting against. Because they're blowing up people who make no policy. I look at them, they ain't no different than gangbangers, anything like that. To me, gangbangers, I've always said it, we'll continue to say it, gangbangers are just the new age Klan. I mean, it used to be the Klan would come into the hood and take a black person and lynch them. Now, Klan don't even have to do it no more. You got these dudes who come through and shoot you in the name, and obviously they can't hit each other. They always hit the innocent person. That got nothing to do with it. You know, so I think those people are the same people along those lines. You're just tools and pawns of the man that you so-called are fighting, because you're not hurting them, because they don't care about little people getting blowed up no way.
Exactly.
You know, you think they give a damn about us being blowed up? They're like, kill them all. As less money we have to pay out to them.
Thank you. Wow.
I mean,
I appreciate you saying it.
Hey, it's the truth. You know, I mean, to think that people, wealthy billionaires, people who have wealth, care about thousandaires, or as I said before, brokenaires. No, they don't. And speaking of that, there was a documentary that just came out of Jalen Rose, executive producer, Jalen Rose, the Fab Five, Michigan basketball. And in it, he made a statement talking about how he looked at Duke players and Duke as a school that would only recruit, they wouldn't recruit players like him, they would only recruit Uncle Toms and sellouts. And, you know, and he was referring to Grant Hill. And he was saying that's how he was thinking at the time. And as a 17-year-old, you know, I can understand that to a point, but then as a grown man, I look at it where you can't call people Uncle Toms and sellouts because their parents took care of them. I mean, this is pretty much what the argument was. So it's a lot of people's arguments. Like, you know, a lot of people didn't like Duke, Grant Hill, all those players. You know, they'll say them guys are sellouts because they went to Duke. And this is not a knock on Jalen Rose, because he was saying that people are looking at the statement like, I said that Grant Hill was a sellout. He said, I thought that as a 17-year-old. I don't think that as a 38-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is that we think and condemn folks. It's sort of like how people was mad at the Cosby Show, and people don't understand why Bill Cosby is still upset to this day. He's like, fuck that hip-hop shit. You know, because remember when Cosby Show was out, you know, folks was like, man, like, that shit ain't real. That ain't how black folks are. And it's like...
And that was just so crazy to me, because think about it, how sad it is for black people to say that it's not realistic for a black woman and a black man to be successful in the same household. That's a really sad thing to say, if you think about it.
Right.
They think that either, okay, a black man has to either be a doctor and be successful on his own or with a person of another race or not in the household at all, or the woman, if she is successful, she has to be a single parent. Black people, for some reason, were at that time, were not really familiar with a successful black woman and a successful black man being in the same household and raising their family together. And that is really sad to me.
I'll take it even further, where it wasn't even necessarily on the family tip. I'm saying that they probably looking at it like they're successful.
Period.
Successful.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is where we're at. I mean, you got to remember, we have a culture where the stupid people are cool.
Yeah, I said something like that on my page, like, what in the world, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, people who can read and write and shit, people can deal like, yeah, what's wrong with you? Stuff out. I mean, because you can read. It's funny, but it's not funny. Cause you
it's crazy.
You know,
I was talked about a lot growing up.
Right.
Why do you talk like that? You talk like a white girl. What the fuck does that mean? I talk like a white. Are you saying because I can form proper sentences that all of a sudden I'm not black enough? Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Right.
Anyway, it's crazy.
And not only that, but when you talk about, you know, you talk like a white person, then you say, well, you don't act black. I challenge somebody to say, what is acting black?
What's acting black?
Because when you look at it, and this is my number one point here, we say these so-called cool people who are stupid, they don't act black. You're not acting black. Because if you're like a gangbanger thug, that is acting white. White people started gangs. The gangs, they was doing that gang shit in the 19th century when they started the Klan.
Thank you.
The next set of gangs was the Italian mobsters, the gangs, and they were gangbanging and doing drive-bys. They did that shit in the 1920s.
You are
mimicking them. So,
right.
In essence, when we talk about sellout Negroes, we are talking about you. You know, these hood cats. You know, I'm hood, I'm keeping it real. Yeah, you're keeping it real white. Because that's who you're mimicking. Because they did that shit first. You're not.
Thank you.
You're not doing nothing. You ain't made nothing up. Grimy. Yeah, they did that shit already. You just copying them. It's just like the folks who, the same people who will jump and talk about Cosby Show is no good. will be the first people who will sit up there, you know, and will be rapping and talking about, yeah, and my favorite movie, Scarface. Fuck.
And that's some dumb shit.
Fuck.
That's stupid.
I've watched Scarface like two times in my life, and if you think that's the best movie, somebody who sells poison to his people and he kills people and that shit is cool, trying to get that money, you know, everybody, it's like Notorious B.I.G. Watch the movie and I was immediately turned off when, you know, they show him selling the drugs to the pregnant woman. Now, a lot of folks would be like, yeah, he had the crazy lyrics, and no doubt, man was lyrical. He's a great hip-hop artist. But, you know, I took offense to some of his lyrics. I didn't take him as a quote-unquote all-time great. I know some folks would take offense with that shit, but hey, you know, he's talking about every day in the struggle. Selling poison to your people is not the struggle.
It's not.
Sorry to say to any and all people out there, look at your fucking perspective. You are all agents of COINTELPRO, which was flood the ghettos and poor regions of the United States, who the people who were rebelling, and flood the areas with drugs so that they will be docile, which is happening. I mean, I'm in Oakland, where that shit started, where you see the effects of COINTELPRO to this fucking day. You see four generations lost because they were drugged out. Mama, daddies were drugged out, and you pass that shit on, and the kids and the people walking around with that look, that their bodies deteriorated, their minds are deteriorated, and hey, where's the glamour in that? You getting that money, you getting that paper, and you destroying people. You destroying
generations. That's really crazy because, like we were saying, they believe they believe that being that type of a person is the cool thing, is the way to be, is cool to be heartless and not give a fuck about your people. It's cool to be mean and cruel to another human being. And I don't understand where that type of mentality comes from, because I don't care who the fuck you are, you're going to need somebody one day. And once people realize what type of person you are, you're not going to have anybody around. All of us are going to get old. All of us are going to need somebody to help us one day. So why you think now, because you're young, you can do all of this little bullshit that you're doing, but then once you get older, you realize this is not the way to be. But if you don't straighten up, you're going to either be alone, dead, or in jail. So what is the glamour in that?
It's the Matrix. It's the straight-up Matrix. It's not even about the long-term implications. See, that's the thing. Short money. Short-term thinking. There is no long-term implications, no thoughts. I'm getting this paper. I'm living this life. I'm living the faux pas American dream. And what ended up being what we got.
It ended up being a nightmare. That's what it ended up being.
Ass in the barrel. And so before we get any deeper on this, We're going to tone it down here. We're going to breathe a little bit. We're going to lighten it up a little bit. This is my boy's HISD, the Houston Independent Spit District. This is Piano Sunrise. Let the sun rise in your mind.
Open your eyes. piano, chase off the bitch with the funkiest piano. Hit the strings of the ghetto, soprano, hit the screams in the ghetto. Herbie Hancock, the new Benzo, sounded like crescendo. I mean the nigga coming up by the extra quarter note, some notes hard to measure. Legal tender, tend to make them change like the weather. Change for the cheddar, change for the better. Hard to make change, break bills for the lesser. Bills on the dresser, but he still stay fresher. Savvy point, Texas, fit district representative. King lit me up with the track, so it's tentative. To the sun's back, fade to black, cause I'm finished here.
Piano play, I orchestrate the symphony. Like Craig D, how I spit over keys. Alicia, Mary Bills like Felicia. A perfect match with tracks and contracts. The teacher, sit next to me while I preach over ivory. Phantom of the Opera with a mask on. Singing my song behind the horns long. Come on, clap for me. I present to you the harmony and RP. Consider me a prodigy. I mob deep. Havoc on the industry. Goofy, rap Stevie. You wonder why you can't see me? You blind, baby, to the fact like Goofy. I see clear with imagery, it's all in the mind. Beautiful scenery, your rhymes. Close your eyes and vibe, piano sunrise. Sunrise, sunrise. Stretch down a court, same face like get up. Step up to the plate all day and get red up. Colder than a whistle, well, a voice with a setup. Chris Paul, when I switch draws, won't let up. Speak from my heart, play my part for the cheddar. Black and white keys, open doors for the better. Cause we a dead broke, it's a curse and I'm fed up. Working out of five, it's a beast where you bit up. Grinding all night, breaking rhymes and I'm sleepy. Trying to free thoughts, lay them down, but it's lucky. From eight brothers in a small room, dog, trust me. Long nights, no food, things get touchy. But when you're traded in, when the keys get muddy. Piano sunrise, open eyes, God loves me. Piano.
First it's a brush, it's beat, it's a canvas, and it's fine art. Close art, black art, Tatum. 88 keys on the track, let's play them. Quarter key, a verse, verbal track, let's slang them. Mind over beat, tears in the streets. Ghetto cutting shirt, toe star, puzzle geek. From an eight to a half, to a O, to a P, to a key, to a G. In the belly of a beast, where they feast, makes a lot, pray for peace to a son in the east. Freedom speaks from piano, songs in the key of life. Husband, wife, mama's like, see it in the early morn. God is you with uniform, form a rap, make them beat, make a move, make it real deal, let's McCoy. Tainers, groove, smooth as the fingers touch, keep the key the same. Rush not to make a big fuss, but hustle in my speech contradicts the art of street. A vegan eating cheese, how ironic that we meet, trying to reach the same peace. I'm just giving you a piece of mind, this time, open your eyes, piano sun, rise, rise.
Together you got drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISD, Houston Independent Spit District, Piano Sunrise. So we need to let the sun rise in your goddamn mind. Let it rise. Clean that darkness out. You know, they say that we use 20% of our brain mass. It seems like folks is only using like 0.5%.
Right.
Like you got 19.5 more to go, homie. You make that dick count.
Oh, well.
Now, speaking of making it count, and, oh, my God, I read this story. Illinois, the state of Illinois, the fine state of Illinois, as a prisoner who saved $11,000 while he was in jail. You know, he worked behind bars. Kinsley Hawkins He did his time. You know how you go to jail, and he worked for $75 a month. So instead of spending the money, he saved it. So Mr. Hawkins ends up with $11,000. But what does the state of Illinois want? State of Illinois are charging this man $455,203.14 to cover the cost of his stay at the Stateville Correctional Center in Joliet, Illinois.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now imagine this. He done worked, and he didn't spend the money. He saved that money. So they see it, and the issue is whether or not the state can repossess the wages that are paid to the inmates, and this will be determined by the Illinois Supreme Court. Now, what are the implications of this? If they can, the money that you work for and saved while you're in jail, they can take that, they can charge you for being in jail and take any money that you supposedly earned while in jail, then basically it's free labor and whatever's clever, and we can charge you and put you in debt for the rest of your life and effectively make you a slave for the rest of your life. Now, of course, there will be some people who are going to say, well, he was a criminal. And whatever.
But the point of going to prison is supposed to be rehabilitation.
Right. And to pay.
The point of going to prison was never supposed to be free labor for this country or for that state. The point was supposed to be to rehabilitate the individual so that once they do their time and pay their debt, you can no longer call him a criminal for the simple fact that he's paid his debt to society. So now he's even. And now because the man was smart enough to save money and not come up out of jail broke, now all of a sudden you guys want to hate. We need to play that hater song.
Well,
I'm pissed off about this. I really am.
Well,
but come on now.
$1,000. That is a lot of money.
But it's something. Do you realize that most of the people that come, 99.999% of inmates that serve their time and they come out of prison, they come out with nothing? So that is a huge accomplishment for this man to save that amount of money. If you think about it, $75 a month, that ain't shit.
Right.
So to save that amount of money, you know, he had a plan. He was probably working on a plan. He wanted to have something to start with when he got out, because we know once you get out of prison, you're not going to be able to get a job. I don't care. You're not going to be able to get a job.
Right.
So he had a plan. He was working on something. And that, even though it's not real significant, it's enough to make a move.
And he's
some kind of move.
He's 60 years old. So we know that this was what was essential to him. And I'll be following this one, and we'll be sure to see what happens here. I mean, because the you know, we talk about short-term implications and long-term implications. The long-term implications for this one, you know, we talk about rehabilitation. We're talking about the man made $75 a month. Like you said, he's supposed to be even Steven, square. He paid his
debt
to society.
He paid his debt.
So now you're going to penalize the man for being smart. Once again, it don't pay to be smart. It pays to be ignorant.
Yeah. Wow. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one kind of got me kind of upset. I'm not gonna lie, because it's just another example of how people say that, oh, it's just a theory of how the government tries to keep people down. That's just a theory, and that's just an excuse for certain people, for ne'er-do-wells or people who don't want to get up off their ass and do anything. That's just an excuse for them to use.
Right.
But I'm telling you, if you've been victimized by like that, you know that it's not just an excuse. You know the feeling.
Well, I
feel for him.
Yeah, it's not even a point about victimization. We should know that. I mean, one of our bloggers is talking about how here in California, prisoners earn $1 a day.
Okay.
I mean, and so, but moving on from that, I mean, it came out where they were talking about the Guatemalans are suing the United States over syphilis tests that they did in the 1940s, you know, the same as how they did here with the Tuskegee. Now the point I bring this up because there's a whistleblower who is missing now. Mm. One of the WikiLeaks whistleblowers, he's gone missing. Now,
it came up missing.
Right. Now, what's the importance of whistleblowers? The importance of whistleblowers is because without whistleblowers, we don't know about Tuskegee experiments. We don't know that you were experimenting and giving syphilis to people in Guatemala. You don't know these things without whistleblowers. But how do we treat whistleblowers? You know, we have to stop snitching. Movement. The people who are saying stop stitching are the same ones that's breaking into your shit and shooting everybody up in the hood. They don't be snitching to the cops because then they're going to arrest my ass. And this, you know, governments do these fucked up experiments. And if people don't snitch, don't have the courage to snitch, as they call it, will we ever know? People who are in the wrong never tell. Like, you know what, yeah, we've been fucking up. For 40 years, we were giving people syphilis and letting them go out into their community, pretending like we were treating them. I doubt that it would ever come up. Now, that's a serious, serious issue when you talk about snitches and WikiLeaks and how people take that shit, they take it too lightly. If you take that lightly and there's no mechanism for us to find out and to hold government and the people who work for government responsible for the heinous acts they commit, then where are we? I mean, you know, we living in the land of the lost here. We can't, you can't do anything. And we getting to that point. I say it every week. We getting to that point where we're close to straight up martial law. You can't do nothing. You work $5 a day. Here's your bread and your water. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you're right. I believe it. I mean, a lot of people don't believe it, but if you watch it, you know, if you keep watching things, you'll more and more you'll see it and you'll start to believe it, what's really going on here. So I'm glad you really brought that up.
Yeah, unfortunately, we keep watching and folks is not acting on this. I said, you know, as a people, we need to come up and start calling these folks on this shit and not letting them. It's a minority that controls things. How come the majority can't control things? That's just something, once again, that sunrise in your head. Please, people, think. Ignorance, we got to knock it out. You know, on that note,
it's definitely not bliss.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you 100% for coming on and representing. I want to say I'm Dick Hugger, aka F the M Word, homegirl, Miss 100% Smooth Drama. We out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.